Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Janine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause, and today I'm going to be talking about fasting and how fasting up to 3 days a month can help to reset your gut, improve your immune system, and help with your ability to deal with stress. So now you might be thinking, oh my gosh, I don't even know how I could fast. That's crazy. I love food too much. Trust me, I love food too. But when I started playing with fasting, I started to notice some really amazing changes with my body and my digestion. So let's go back to caveman days. Our digestive system is designed to go without food. And in fact, a little bit of stress like that on our sympathetic nervous system is actually a good thing. It actually helps us to be able to deal a little bit better with stress. Now that might sound a little crazy, but think of it this way. Your sympathetic nervous system is like directly on either side of your digestive system. It's all the way down. And it's kind of cool how you can give your sympathetic nervous system a little bit of a rest, and you can give your digestive system, so your enteric nervous system, a little bit of a rest by not putting food in all the time and not overdoing it in terms of too much food, too much throughout the day and even into the night, and not giving your body a chance to rest a little bit. Now, we all know that fasting is going to promote energy burn of reserves. We also know that it's going to help with some fat burn, but we also are just starting to realize how much fasting can allow our gut bacteria to work on their own neighborhoods and focus on duplicating and creating a nice healthy balance versus focusing on digesting food all the time. One of our most important gut bacteria is the lactobacillus family. And those lactobacillus guys I often see in stool testing in my patients are completely wiped out. And when I get a little bit more information on these certain patients, it's because they either have a lot of digestive irritation, or it's because these folks just kind of overload their guts with food all the time and can't fast, or don't want to, or just are in a habit where they're just hungry all the time. So something to keep in mind. Now, these bacteria in our gut are sensitive. They get worn out easily. And you know, if you keep giving them food over and over and over again, they are so busy working on digesting and they ferment and things of that nature, it doesn't give them time to store nutrients and really keep up healthy neighborhoods. And so fasting is like a vacation for the gut bugs. And another big thing to kind of think about here in terms of fasting is that our digestive system lining turns over every 3 to 4 days. So we get new cells. It doesn't happen all at once, but it happens in certain sections. And if we are not overloading our gut for around 3 days, we can allow some of those new cells that are coming up to be nice and healthy. So just some food for thought. Haha, no pun intended, geez. So, Muslim culture. Now, I know it might be weird. Why am I bringing Muslim culture into this? In their culture, there's a lot of fasting. And there's a lot of cultural thoughts around Ramadan and things of that nature. But in particular, in Muslim culture, there is a lot of talk about fasting from day 13 to 15 in terms of the month. And what that, those day 13 to 15, it's not like, you know, March 13th to 15th. No, it's during the full moon. And interestingly enough, you can look back in the Quran and there are multiple portions of the Quran that link longevity and strength and wisdom to fasting. And hence, Ramadan. Ramadan is about a month or so of a time period in which Muslims are going to fast from sunrise to sunset. Now, granted, I have a lot of Muslim friends, especially in Turkey. And interestingly enough, now that sunset comes and there's a huge old stinking buffet on the table. So there's a little bit of gorging that happens. I don't think that used to be the way that this went. But something to keep in mind in terms of translating to
the important component here is that when you break your fast, you don't want to overload yourself and gorge yourself. So something to keep in mind, which for a lot of folks who might have eating disorders, fasting is not a good idea. And I'm going to say that absolutely upfront right now. For a lot of people, if it's going to mess with your mind in terms of I didn't eat for that long period of time, I am going to gorge myself. Yeah, that's not good. That's not a good habit to get into. Hence, I usually have a lot of my patients start with small portions of fasting. And so by that, eating within 6 to 8 hours condensed in a day, which allows them to have a 14 to 16 hour fast, or fasting 2 days of the week in which there's around 500 calories in those particular days versus completely not eating anything. And so those modified fasts also work pretty well. So do the medical fasts in terms of having smoothies and that old school kind of slim fast kind of diet plans, or having smoothies 3 times a day using a product called Metabolic. That's something from the company called Thorn that I like. Check that out in the show notes. I'll have a link to it. So now you might be thinking, okay, she's like absolutely off the deep end. Why would fasting be good for anybody? Well, of course, if you've been, you know, perusing the latest and greatest in the last few years, there's a lot of talk about intermittent fasting. And I'll be honest, it gets some pretty darn good results. And the reason being is because we can affect our immune system, we can affect our gut bug balance, we can affect the way our nervous system responds. There's a lot of benefit to not having food all the time going in. So one of the biggies that I find fascinating is that we have research that shows that by fasting, you can lower your white blood cell counts. So your white blood cells are like the primo of your fighters for your immune system. And a lot of us are chronically exposed to bugs, and we produce and sometimes overproduce the amount of white blood cells more than we need. And what this can do by fasting is we can lower the white blood cell counts, kind of give the immune system a chance to chill out, but also remove those old white blood cells and recycle them. I've got a lot of patients in my practice, and I'm starting to notice it more and more in the last few years, that I've got a lot of people with chronically swollen lymph nodes in their neck or their armpits. And I'm like, what the heck is this about? We run their labs and their white blood cells are a little up, not crazy to I think that they're having cancer going on, and we do a little evaluation. And what I'm seeing is a lot of these folks either are going to have no reason for why these lymph nodes would be swollen other than they got an illness and then their body just didn't reset from it, or they've got chronic reactivated mono, so Epstein-Barr virus. And I found that fasting works really well for kind of knocking down that reaction to Epstein-Barr virus. And I think this is it. It's because we're lowering the old school white blood cells up and sitting around in the body for gosh knows how long. And we're getting the immune system to reset, produce new ones, fight off whatever's been hanging around, and just kick it out of the system. So if anyone has issues with swollen lymph nodes out there and chronically, I highly recommend testing out a little bit of fasting techniques, see how you do. I do also recommend for swollen lymph nodes that you do work on some heat in your neck and lymphatic drainage, but that is for another day to go into that. Now, another thing about these chronic white blood cell counts is if our body has old white blood cells that are trying to deal with issues that we have in terms of viruses and things of that nature, it's like they're old and they're not strong enough. You want nice and strong, new, vital white blood cells. And so I think it's absolutely huge for disease prevention and cancer prevention too, that we have new white blood cells always circulating through the system. So fasting can help us to reset the immune system and allow us to fight off all these invaders. And in particular, there's a lot of connection with chronic viral conditions and cancer. Huge connections with research. So, hey, something to keep in mind there. Now, another big thing that was found in research is that fasting increases our sensitivity to insulin, meaning insulin is what grabs your glucose in your bloodstream and brings it into cells for energy. A lot of us are walking around fatigued because our body, our cells actually have decided that they don't want to respond to insulin trying to bring glucose into the cells. And so if we can't bring glucose into the cells, our mitochondria, these little factories that we have in every single one of our cells, can't produce energy.
And that's not cool. But what fasting does is it actually helps us to be more sensitive to insulin. So those cells can now bring glucose in for energy, but also your mitochondria become fat burners. They work really hard to help you to utilize fat for energy. And that's pretty cool. Because if we go more than 14 to 16 hours without eating, we trigger fat burn, which is awesome. Who doesn't want that? So something to keep in mind. Now, the other cool thing is that fasting can increase something called leptin. Leptin is a hormone that tells us we're full. And for a lot of people, we are so overfed that we don't even know when we're full. We have no signals that go to our brain that say, hey, I've ate too much. Hey, I'm full. And so fasting can help you to reset that so you can get that leptin to tell your brain that you are full. That's huge. For a lot of people, that is the difference between a couple waist, dress sizes. That is huge to have that signal back to the brain. And you know who you are if you've lost that full signal. And it definitely happens. I think I might have had that happen a few times in my life. And fasting can help to reset that for you. So something to keep in mind. Now, another big thing is that by fasting, you allow your mitochondria to take a break, right? They're not overloaded with a whole bunch of molecules coming in, because the more those mitochondria work to make you energy, the more they have to poop, and they are going to have these things called reactive oxygen species, or they're going to be basically putting out free radicals. And what those are molecules, byproducts, like exhaust that your engine of your car puts out into the air. This is what is going to be the byproduct of cellular burn and in that case, energy production. And so the cellular poop is a problem because it inflames us. And anybody who has toxic muscles, by that I mean fibromyalgia, I'm talking about really sensitive muscles, muscles that are super tight, you're not recovering from exercise as well. This is your wheelhouse right here. You need to pay attention to this. This means that you are overloading your mitochondria, your factories, and every single one of your cells, and you want to work on preventing that. And the best way to work on that is to not overload them. And one of the ways to not overload them is to allow them to have a break, giving them a little vacay. You're just going to let them chill out a little bit while you're not giving them so much food constantly all the time. Now, they also allow glutathione, which is your body's natural janitor. It is an antioxidant that goes in and cleans up all that cellular poop. Now, imagine if you're a janitor and you're mopping up that cellular poop and you've got, it just keeps coming at you like a hose. I mean, what the heck? You can't keep up. And so this allows your body to keep up. You're not overloading it with food. You're not overloading it with too many nutrients. And so those mitochondria can go, okay, I can handle what's coming down the conveyor belt at me. I can process it and it's cool. And then at some point it runs out a little bit and takes a little break. It's so much better for those little mitochondria. It keeps them healthy and it keeps your whole body healthy, because the more that you build up your cellular poop and your glutathione, so your antioxidants can't keep up with it, the more you're going to have toxic muscles, toxic skin. You're going to have wrinkles. You're going to have cellulite. You're going to have all kinds of cellular issues. You're going to be fatigued. You're going to tend towards heart disease. You're going to tend towards arthritis, things of that nature. So keeping these mitochondria healthy really is one of the ways to find the fountain of youth. They're really at the core of disease prevention. And the only way you can keep these mitochondria healthy is to know, one, how they're functioning by getting a test like the NutriEval I mentioned in my previous podcast to this, also putting a link in my show notes, so check that out, NutriEval by Genova, or organic acid testing. And that can give you a really good sense of, are your mitochondria healthy? Now, the other side of it is eating in moderation, keeping your cells healthy. Now, the folks who are the healthiest folks and live the longest into the 120s and whatnot, they live in poorer countries. They oftentimes go without food. They are oftentimes Asian in some cultures. And so thinking about that, there is an old adage of Japanese eating in terms of stop eating when you're 80% full. Well, a lot of us, if we don't know when we're full, because we don't have leptin signaling to our brain telling us we're full, we have problems. And so this big component of, you know, eating 3/4 of your plate versus the full plate and not becoming a Clean Plate Club member, that's huge. That is less impact on your mitochondria. So less equals more energy. and healthier mitochondria, less food. So one of the things you want to think about here, why is fasting so beneficial? It's really starting to get your body to burn through all of your glycogen stores first. So glycogen is how we store carbohydrates in our muscles and liver. And after about 14 to 16 hours, we clear out those. Then the body is going to be triggered to burn fat. Fat is more efficient for energy production. We need a lot more carbohydrates to make the amount of energy that we can use from one molecule of fat. So that's huge. Now, this does not mean that we all need to go out and go to ketogenic diets and just eat fat. I'll be the first one to tell you, my body does not do well with a lot of fat, and a lot of us have genetics that don't do well with a lot of fat. Now, that does not mean that you're supposed to eat a low-fat American diet. No. Yeah, plenty of veggies, sure. But the fat is, you gotta keep it in check. And so it goes back to everything in moderation. It goes back to keeping your food amounts in check. So now, what does fasting do on the gut lining level? It actually works to keep certain bacteria in check. And it actually keeps levels of bacteria that mess with your blood sugar, bacteria that mess with inflammation in the body, it keeps them in check. And in fact, you can tell a lot about what someone eats by looking at their gut bacteria, which is pretty darn cool. I love to do stool testing on patients to know kind of what's happening in terms of their microbiome in the gut. But at the same time, you can change what those bugs, what the population of those bugs per se, by really working to fast a little bit and weed out the bad guys. So for a lot of folks that struggle with weight, the balance between their Firmicutes and the Bacteroidetes families, that's huge. Because Firmicutes can go up when you eat too much processed food, and Bacteroidetes goes up with good food and healthy food, so closest to nature foods. And that's huge, because fasting will help you to get that better balance between the Firmicutes and the Bacteroidetes. And oftentimes I'll see that on a lab test. I'll see that someone's stool samples show that they've got the improper balance there, and they're wondering why they're not losing weight. Well, it's because we've got this imbalance going on, and fasting is something that can help to correct that. So I use that as a tool to tell me, yes, definitely that individual is a great candidate for fasting. Now, in other cases, I've got a lot of folks that are going to be able to resist stress and slow down the process of aging, because one of the big things with fasting in terms of resisting stress is it's amazing in terms of our bodies are already inherently processed or that's a bad word, processed doesn't make sense, are already just programmed to have time where we don't have food. Feast or famine, things of that nature. And if you look at caveman days and hunter-gatherer days, I mean, some days you were good at hunting, and other days, you know, you struck out. And so you had to be a vegetarian, just kind of like those t-shirts joke, bad hunter equals vegetarian. You know, those things happen. And unfortunately, this day and age, hunting for us is going, you know, a couple blocks down to the grocery store and fighting 5 p.m. traffic at the grocery store, which can seem like hunting, but we have access to a plethora of foods. But unfortunately, that plethora of foods isn't great for us. It can cause some serious issues. And in particular, this is where we connect the stress effect on the gut and being able to help us to resist stress and manage stress better. Think about the food that you get. To some extent, if you're not eating all organic and you are eating genetically modified foods, or you're eating processed foods that have chemicals in them, this is stress to the gut. And so your gut has to deal with all of that over and over again. But if you give it a break, now it's kind of like a reset for it. It's giving it a vacation. And it's huge, because if you keep giving your body all kinds of inflammatory foods that it doesn't like, such as genetically modified wheat, such as nightshades, such as tomatoes that have been genetically modified, or you're giving your body a whole bunch of chemicals like red dye number 5 or yellow number 5 or whatever it may be, it's going to change the bacteria that you have in the gut. And some of those bacteria are pro-inflammatory bacteria. So for example, we've got a type of bacteria called Fecobacterium presunti. And I'm sure I probably butchered that last name of it. But low levels of this bacteria means that you're going to have inflammatory gut conditions. But if you give your gut a rest and don't put in these irritating foods, you allow for that type of bacteria to grow and set up its neighborhoods and proliferate and be happy and healthy and get its nutrient stores going. So the idea here is that by resting your body from getting all of the toxic environmental food components, such as pesticides, such as genetically modified foods, such as chemicals, natural flavors, things of that nature, it really helps the body to be able to not focus on dealing with gut issues, and it allows the body to de-stress. Your belly is your second brain. And if it's just totally irritated all the time and you're not giving a break to relax, guess what? You're going to have a harder time dealing with stress. And so it's another huge connection here in terms of why fasting is hugely important for you to be able to just deal with stress better. The body's not as occupied. So this component of intermittent fasting and weight loss and intermittent fasting and overall health, I really try to explain to my patients that it's not just about weight loss. Don't even think about it, about weight loss. The good benefit is that, yes, if you look at the majority of the research, yes, you're going to be thinner overall. And the reason being is because you're not overloading your mitochondria. And so those little factories are not getting overloaded, and they're able to function properly and stay healthy. And then at the same time, you're not inflaming your body and causing it to have too much cellular poop that it can't clean up. So the most important thing that I want you to get from this podcast is that don't think about fasting in terms of a weight loss program. Think of it in terms of a general health longevity program. I like to have my patients work up to fasting 3 days a month, and I oftentimes will try to put it near the full moon, just because if the Muslims were talking about this, like, you know, years ago when they wrote the Quran, my goodness, I mean, that's a long time ago. They were talking with it linked to longevity and wisdom. My goodness, that is huge, because if we have that, we have years and years of knowledge of what seemed to work in terms of maintaining health. And so I really think that looking at it as a 3-day reset versus and timing it with full moon also is the time in which there's just the universe is more energetically active. You might be familiar that weird things happen on full moon, et cetera, et cetera. It's just one of those times that I think it's a good balance time for the body. And I highly recommend working up to that. I usually start folks with the 5 days of regular food and 2 days where we have 500 calories or so. Then I work into the 14 to 16 hours fast and kind of work that way. I do that myself. That is the way I've been eating for quite some time now. And it really has helped to keep my blood sugar in check and my energy levels. I am good to go. And I do feel it if I do, you know, divert. And I'm not saying that you can't divert. You're not ruining anything if you have like a week where you're not having the full fasting. That's okay. Honestly, I like the 3 days a month plan if you get to that, because then you don't have to be so strict every single day. It allows for some flux, and it just, you know, you have a compounded effect there of those 3 days. And the research by the 3 days versus 1 day, I'm really looking at the combination with 3 days for your gut cells to turn over. And so it's really me kind of combining gut health with the overall effect of what's been researched and what's been, you know, essentially shown through years and years of historic culture. So kind of cool stuff there. Now, another big thing that I want to mention about fasting is there's even, you know, research that is showing that if you are fasting and you're someone who is really struggling with brain issues, there's something called brain-derived neurotrophic factor, BDNF, and it gets produced with fasting. And it actually will stimulate your stress response that helps you to cope with stress. So another big bonus there. The other bonus there is that it helps your gut brain and it helps your brain. So gut brain being, you know, honestly, I think your number one brain, your real brain being your second brain. Nevertheless, fasting can help you modulate that stress response and help you to cope with stress. Now, one of the big things you might be thinking about is, well, wait a minute, what if I'm overstressed, I've pushed myself to the limits, and I have adrenal fatigue? Isn't fasting bad for me? Well, it's not ideal in this case. And that's why I do highly recommend before you start going on a fasting plan that you do take a look at your mitochondria and find out where they're at and assess your adrenals as well. Do a saliva cortisol test. Because yes, if you are in adrenal fatigue, you're extremely weak because you have a current disease you're dealing with, you know, things of that nature, yeah, it might be something to consider not doing the fasting. Adrenal fatigue is probably the main thing that I see issues with fasting. There are other ones in more severe cases. Of course, always talk to your doctor first before you go into this. But my big caveat here is that a lot of times we need to think about how did we get to the adrenal fatigue. And most of the time it's because it's someone who's pushed themselves to their limits. They've, you know, ate a lot of junk food late at night, maybe survived on Diet Coke and coffee to get them through days. And guess what? It doesn't do so well for the body. And in that case, it actually benefits to work on a modified fasting routine. And so a lot of times I'll recommend more of a 5-2 plan, meaning 5 days of the week you're eating normal and 2 days of the week you're fasting. And maybe it's modified where you're not doing 200 calories or 500 calories in that case. Maybe you're actually going to 1,000 or something like that based on your weight. So I don't think that anyone who is in full-on adrenal fatigue should completely, you know, nix the fasting. I think it's a matter of assessing your adrenals first and then determine where you're at, because each individual has a certain level of adrenal fatigue. And a lot of us will think we're completely in adrenal fatigue and we're more in an imbalanced state. I've seen a lot of people reset and do really well from fasting in adrenal imbalanced state. Full-on adrenal fatigue where cortisol is in the dumps and, you know, we're bordering on serious issues. Now, of course, please do not do this. But for those of you that have no idea where you're at, do an assessment, cortisol saliva testing. I'll put the link to it in my show notes and check that out if you think that you might be in that type of category. However, for everyone else, I think that it's worth it to play with it and see how you do. I really, really love that you can look at your body in terms of fasting as if exercise calms you, fasting might as well because of this brain-derived neurotrophic factor. And so if you're an anxious individual and exercise resets your nervous system, so you're kind of feeling anxious about the day you go, you work out, you feel so much more chill, fasting is a really good component for you to help with the overstimulation of the nervous system. So those of you who are stress eaters, huge to work on fasting and see how you do, because it can actually help. I am a huge stress eater, and I'll be honest, fasting's helped me a lot with that as well. Now, the University of Southern California has some great research out there, and in particular, they're talking all about the fasting mimicking diet can reverse diabetes. And what they're talking about is that this fasting is causing the regeneration of pancreatic cells, and it goes to replace the dysfunctional ones, because in our pancreas, we have these B cells, beta cells, that produce insulin.
And insulin, of course, as you've heard me already mention, is it's what grabs the glucose and brings it into the cells and gets energy produced. Now, what's kind of cool is that if you can also produce new pancreatic cells, this is much like the effect that I mentioned earlier in terms of resetting the immune system for white blood cells and getting healthier, stronger white blood cells to go into the immune system and fight viruses and things of that nature. And so we have research on these two things. What else could it do for us? So something to keep in mind and be on the lookout for new amazing research that is going to be coming out, I'm sure, as we move into knowing a little bit more about our gut bacteria. Speaking of the gut bacteria, I have quite a few links for you to check out in terms of what do the gut bugs say about your diet and the impact of gut bacteria and their balance on health and disease, because fasting has a huge effect on what gut bacteria you have, and it allows for good bacteria to thrive. And it, of course, you can't fast and then eat crap food, then you're gonna still have crappy bacteria. But if you are working on combining fasting with a healthy, whole foods, closest to nature type of diet, you're gonna see some really great change. And I highly, highly recommend you check it out. So in today's episode, we've talked all about how fasting for 3 days and how fasting for 14 to 16 hours can benefit you to thrive and increase your longevity overall, and in particular, helping with the immune system, helping with reducing blood sugar, helping to fight disease, helping with your metabolism. Those are the main four areas that I mentioned today. Now, if you are thinking that you want to try this fasting out, I highly recommend that you assess your adrenal function. So make sure that you are not in full-on adrenal fatigue by getting a saliva cortisol test. And I've got the links to how to do that here in the show notes. I highly also recommend that you look at your mitochondrial function, because fasting for some folks is great. It does a lot of resetting, but you might need to help your mitochondria a little bit with some nutrients, because you might be lacking certain B vitamins that help those mitochondria to be as efficient as possible. So I highly recommend checking that out as well. And if you're thinking, okay, I don't have the money for these tests, or my insurance doesn't cover these tests, okay, fine. I would say if you're at all curious, start with some fasting and consider a shake called the Metabolic Shake that is specifically designed and researched by a company called Thorne to help you with resetting your mitochondria. And consider something called Niacel. It is a derivative of niacin, vitamin B3, and it helps with energy production. And if you're noticing, especially if you are an athlete or you're a weekend warrior or you're someone who is wanting to improve your athletic vigor, try the Niacel out with your workouts and see how that goes to help you out and keep your mitochondria healthy, because a lot of us who are weekend warriors or trying to get back into the gym sometimes feel worse after we work out. And usually that's because your mitochondria are struggling to produce energy and you're building up too many cellular poops. So too much cellular poop causing inflammation in the body. So taking a step back, doing a little reset, such as a 3-day fast once a month, could be the key to helping to get you further along with your athletic desires, as well as helping you with your metabolism and keeping you healthy and disease-free for life. So I've got a lot of resources here at the end of this episode. If you're interested and want to geek out more on fasting and want to know more about the effects on the body, check those out. I also have a ton of information in terms of labs and whatnot. So I hope that you've enjoyed today's podcast. I love to talk about all of these fun things for the gut, and I would love to see your comments. Let me know what you think. This has been another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in to The Health Fix, the podcast all about taking control of your health, rebelling against aging, and having fun every day. A lot of patients ask me, do you think I'm aging too fast? So, I created an evaluation checklist for you to see for yourself. Plus, I created a resource guide to help you slow down the aging process right now. You can find it for free on my website, drjkrausend.com. If you like this podcast, help get the word out to others by liking it and rating it.
If you'd like more natural health tips and want to join our Facebook community where I interact daily, click on the Join Group button on our website at drjkrausmd.com.